Hello and welcome to Stages. I'm Regina Botros and we are talking theatre. Well, at least we are talking to theatre makers while things are in lockdown. And my guest this evening is Tommy Murphy. He's an award-winning playwright and screenwriter. His plays have been seen over the last couple of decades in theatres like Griffin, Belvoir, Sydney Theatre Company, as well as nationally and internationally, with Holding the Man being produced in places like Florence, Chicago, Nashville and London. As well as Holding the Man, he's written Packer and Sons, Gwen in Purgatory, Strangers in Between and Mark Colvin's Kidney, among others. He's written for the big screen, with Holding the Man being adapted beautifully for the screen and Mark Colvin's Kidney in the making as we speak. He's also written for television, having worked on series like Offspring, Devil's Playground and Bloom 2, to name just a few. It's always a joy to speak with him about his work. Please welcome Tommy Murphy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on during lockdown. You don't shy away from difficult topics and themes, but we'll get into that. Before we do talk about your writing and everything that you do, I want to get an idea of where you're from. So where did you begin life and what was it like? Was it a creative household? Like, what was your family like?
It was a very creative household. I'm one of eight children. Big Catholic family of a lot of people interested in the arts. And my parents really championed us to seek careers in any field that we wanted to, but we're great lovers of the arts. And so I had older brothers and sisters who were, you know, seeking professions in the arts, and I followed them, really.
So was it a house with that many children, you could have like all kinds of plays. Was it that kind of house where you were putting on things or mucking about, staging things at home?
Yeah, a bit of that, like in any household, like that sort of like fun with, you know, dance and performance and stuff. But I think it was also, in particular, my older brother was just very good at mimicry. And so I think we sort of, you know, looked up to him as a teller, my brother Marty. And then also I had my sister Prudence, who was studying photography, and then another sister, Kate, who was a very successful video artist. And then my younger brother Paddy works in film producing and development in Los Angeles now. So there's just lots of artistic activity around.
Wow. So you actually studied directing, as far as I can tell, at NIDA. When was the writing kind of coming to the fore for you, and was it already happening?
I was always a writer. I was a writer in disguise when I went to NIDA to do directing. There wasn't a playwrights course there yet. But the directing course made for a really good playwriting course, because you were learning everyone else's language, because you were learning what actors do, what lighting designers do, things that are hugely useful for the playwright, as well as all of the sort of dramaturgy that you would do in a directing course. So I had done directing at university, but really I was always aiming to be a playwright, and that was my love.
So what are the things that you're drawn to? I mean, as far as I can gather, it seems that relationships are at the core of your work, or, you know, drive your story. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, I think that's true. And stories around, relationships, family, and sort of a frankness about sex, or an interest in the way that sex impacts on our relationships, or the sort of the drama of that, and trying to, I guess, like a lot of writers, just aiming simply to create truthful emotional lives for our characters. One thing that I did early, of course, like a lot of writers, was draw on my own experience and draw from characters around me. And a play like Gwen in Purgatory is very much that, or a play like Strangers in Between draws directly on my own experience. But I got to a certain point where I felt that my life wasn't going to be interesting enough to keep on drawing inspiration from. So I really sought out true life stories and tried to be a little bit more journalistic for a stretch of my writing, which is where plays like Packer and Sons and Mark Colvin's Kidney comes from.
They are... certainly, truth is stranger than fiction and more interesting in so many ways. They're really hard subjects and that you have drawn on. How do you work, I guess, in the relationship with the people that you're working with, or...
That is the delicate bit. I mean, that is the stuff that takes a lot of, you know, sensitivity and effort, and that, I think, is the thing that I probably both enjoyed most but put the most effort into when writing true life stories. And that task was different which with each project. But I think that began with holding the man and having such a direct relationship with Tim Conagrave's friends and family during the development of that, and also John Callio's friends and some members of his family as well. And I guess the experience of that was something that I felt, that the diplomacy of that was something that I think that I became good at. And I just realized how much a part of telling someone else's story, that how much of trust is involved there and how much respect it takes. And then that also has to be balanced though with creating a cracking story. So you do have to be able to take liberties, but you sometimes have to be able to explain your reasons well, or gain the trust that you are doing that in a way that remains truthful, if not factually accurate.
And it's a little bit of poetic license, but predominantly on the topic. But what I can't help but think is the time needed to not just to write the story, but also theatre making, it's very time consuming. Like looking at, for example, Strangers in Between, from when it won the award to when it was on the stage, you talk about time in theatre and writing and, what you think?
Yeah, I mean, it does. And it's sometimes so unpredictable how long these developments will take. They take such patience. That said, I also think there's no deadline like opening night. So I you know, always want to encourage theatre companies to make that leap of faith and to trust the writer that it will be ready by then. But it is a balance, and it does take careful, patient investigation and rigor. And you do need that space to get things wrong, and also you need time in your process to be away from the project as well, because that's a really important time of growing the ideas as well, looking away from the work. So I have to say, like in my time working as a playwright in Australia, I actually think that the development systems at companies have got better and better. I think that they're very good now at inciting plays, about provoking playwrights, but also I think that the theatre companies that I've encountered recently have very sophisticated systems to develop those plays as well, and some of the brains behind that, people like Louise Goff, who was recently at Belvoir but is now taking over the new incarnation of Playwriting Australia, a brain like that is, we're so lucky to have them. They're crucial.
So you're saying there's sort of more support that you've seen developed over the years now?
Yeah, and that role of the dramaturg, I think, is pretty good. And the way that it works within the company structure, I mean, sometimes it's not, but mostly I think it's got stronger and stronger.
So I can't help but ask, have you looked at anything and gone, oh, I didn't get that right? When you see
that? Oh, of course.
Yeah?
Oh, I would say every play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course. And, of course, yeah. And then each play is a learning experience, and you try to apply the lessons to the next one. And I'm doing that in particular with a bit of TV writing as well, like trying to draw those lessons from being in a room with an audience and having to work so hard at sort of scene by scene at dramatic tension, trying to apply those lessons now to television writing as well. But yet they all have their shortcomings and their lessons, absolutely.
So how is that different? Because like you said, you draw predominantly, or at least when you began, from yourself and then from verbatim. I imagine going to television is completely fiction, or are you still drawing on characters you know, or how does it work?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've actually sort of shifted in this. I think for the moment I've shelved the need to tell true stories. I hope that it's an interest or a skill I can return to, but it's just not my interest at the moment. And also I feel like I've recently sort of been through some profound life experiences of a bereavement, and I feel like that experience of losing my partner sort of, I don't know, it feels like it's such a universal human experience. It feels like that's the well I can just draw from for a long, long time. So a few of the projects I've worked on recently have, in a roundabout way, been about grief, and that's sort of my interest at the moment. So I've come back to drawing on my own experience, simply because I think I went through enough, and that it's interesting enough to share, to draw inspiration from.
I'm really sorry about those turning points that happen in us, and they kind of direct us in some ways. Can you talk about certain turning points that you have gone through as a writer that have affected you, and maybe the people that have supported you along the road? You know, there's sort of sliding doors moments for you in your writing career?
Oh, completely. I mean, in the arts, we're all so dependent on our mentors, and I've certainly benefited from that, from the people that I met at NIDA, that are teachers that I remain friendly with, like Terry Clark or Richard Cottrell, people like that, or then professionals that I've met, like Margaret Fink, or a film producer, people like that just remain your friends and a sounding board. But the key person for me was always David Berthold, who I originally met when he was at the Sydney Theatre Company. And meeting David was the key turning point in my career, because he was such an inspiring director, but also a communicator and teacher. And I was just very fortunate that where David went in his career sort of helped me. Like, he was at the Australian Theatre for Young People for several years, and then the artistic director of Griffin. And in various posts, we've developed work together. Most recently, Mark Colvin's Kidney, but he's now in a leadership role at NIDA. So I know that there's now a lot of young people benefiting from his mentoring, which is wonderful to see.
What do you think is something that he may have taught you?
The rigor, definitely the rigor. Like, right from when I first met him at 16, it was about the rigor of, like, I just remember, like, the great thing about David was that he didn't really speak to young people as anything but fellow professionals. And that sort of scrutiny of the work, I just remember, like, really on this play when I was like 16, he just looking at it, and I was sort of saying, you know, that's what this idea is about, or that's what this line is about. And I remember him just really saying, no, well, that's not being communicated. I can't see that. That's not clear. So it's just that rigor about the clarity of the ideas, about not what the author's intention was, but about what the play was actually doing. And those are lessons that I, you know, apply every minute of my writing life.
So you've had your works played not just nationally but internationally. Have you seen any of the productions of, like, Holding the Man overseas?
Yeah, I try to. I regret that I haven't seen more of them, because I'm very lucky. Holding the Man has this, well, until COVID, was having this sort of regular international life. And I've been to, I most recently went to one in Chicago. Yeah, I mean, I've been to quite a few of them. I didn't make it to the Italian one. I would have loved to have seen it in a foreign language. That I do get around. I went and saw Strangers in Between in London just before. Oh. When was that? 2018. So yeah, I try to go and see them.
Time is very strange at the moment. So are you? I was gonna say, are you like, you're working in television now? Was stage your first love? Excuse me.
Stage is always my love. Yeah.
Is it? So have you got, I know you've, you know, you said you're working predominantly on television. Are you still have back stories that you kind of chip in on?
Oh yeah, I've got a few things sitting there in development. Like, as we know, it's a strange time in stage, and I guess there's sort of a few ideas or drafts sitting in the queue during this uncertainty of COVID, but I have to say that I've been very lucky in being relatively unscathed, and I think most writers have probably fared better than certainly than freelance actors, and our sympathies, you know, with them and other artists who have had such uncertainty and been left behind at times during the COVID response. As a writer, there were certainly scary moments in 2020 when projects faltered, and I also appreciate that I'm not one of the playwrights that have had a work you know, rehearsing or scheduled and then impacted by a closure of a theatre. And there's certainly many of my colleagues that have suffered from that. And just in the timing of it and the chanciness of it, Packer and Sons closed, you know, the January before COVID hit.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were some shaky times in 2020, but actually development of scripts in screen and theatre has been able to continue. And the TV work that I'm doing is via Zoom, and that works fine. So I'm very aware of the chanciness of that and the fortune of it, because other people have really suffered from this uncertainty in the arts at the moment. And I can't imagine the sort of heartbreak of rehearsing a play that then, you know, it's poised to open and then the theatre closes. It must be so heartbreaking.
It's hard enough to survive in the theatre, I think, without that happening. Can you talk about, yeah, you mentioned a little bit about your relationship with David Berthold. Can you talk about the importance of relationships in the world or the community, would you say, of theatre making?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all as good as our collaborations, aren't we? I mean, in terms of creating work, it's always as good as that, the team around you, and no one could, you know, pretend that the role of a playwright is an individual undertaking. It is such a collaborative artwork, and that's why you're drawn to it. You're drawn to theatre because you love that community experience, and I'm sure for screen as well. You're drawn to that team effort, the sort of machinery of that whole community that has to come together to create work. That's the really exciting stuff. So those relationships are key to what we do. And, you know, it's something that whenever I'm speaking to younger writers, I always talk about that, of valuing the collaborations and loving collaborations, loving the rigor of that, loving the challenge of that, you know, rather than being a sort of defensive, resentful writer who thinks others are trying to tamper with your brilliance.
One last thing. Are you watching any online theatre or shows or anything during lockdown?
I'm sorry to say that I'm not. I've found that side of it a little bit downspiriting for me. I mean, I sort of, you know, champion everyone's efforts to keep active in lockdown. But for me, it made me just crave the real experience more and more. So, no, I think my lockdown is spent watching television or film more than it is filmed theatre.
Well, Tommy Murphy, thank you so much. Hopefully we will be in theatres again before too long and seeing it in that sort of more visceral experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Yes, let's hold out hope it's not too long. Thanks very much.
Well, that was the award-winning playwright, Tommy Murphy.